This conference will now be recorded.
Okay, I'd like to call the meeting of the Connecticut Student Loan Foundation to order. First item of business is doing a roll call for our audio minutes. When I call your name, could you please signify that you are on the call? For the record, Peter Lisi is on. Next, Ben Barnes. Is Ben on? Guess not. Marty Budd?
Here.
Andrew Foster?
Present.
Daryl Hill? Daryl? Steve Kitowitz?
Here.
Thank you. Julie Savino?
Here.
All right. One more time for Ben Barnes or Daryl Hill. Okay. Going down to management and staff, Jeanette Weldon.
Yes, I'm here.
Denise Aguilera.
Here.
Denise, thank you. Deb Galley.
Here.
Josh Rulock.
Here.
Carly Levin.
Here.
Cynthia Peoples. Cynthia? Okay. No Cynthia. Shannon Reynolds?
Here.
Natalia Rosio?
Here.
Kara Stewart?
Here.
Did I ask Deb Galley? She's on.
Yes, Peter, I'm here.
Thank you. From Cohn Resnick, Melissa Brucci? Melissa?
She had to step away.
All right, Kristen Brown?
Here.
Josh Labonte?
Here.
Thank you. Judith Blank, are you on still? Judith? Tim Webb?
Yes, I am here.
Thank you. Lou DeLuca? Okay, I may have missed some folks. If I didn't call your name and you are on the call, could you please identify yourself?
Joanne Matkowitz is here.
Oh, I'm sorry, Joanne, I missed you last time too. Sorry.
And Daryl Hill is here.
Daryl's on now, thank you. Has Ben Barnes connected? No Ben, all right. Anyone else?
He's there.
Appears to be here, yes.
He's here, I think he's having audio problems.
Ah, okay. Okay, all right, let's get started then. First item of business are the approval of the minutes from June 25th. I hope folks have taken a look at them. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Marty moved it. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Steve. Seconded. Are there any corrections or edits to the minutes from June 25th?
I had a question. I don't know whether appropriate here, just to ask about whether the change in servicer has worked out all well. I think there was just one group of loans where we changed the servicer.
Right. And Marty, I'm going to mention that in the executive director's report.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? All those in favor of approving the minutes from June 25th, please signify by saying aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. It's unanimous. All right, now Jeanette, for your executive director's report.
Yes, and so we have completed the documentation to transfer the private loan portfolio from the original servicer, Ed Financial, to launch as the new servicer. As you may recall, the private loan portfolio is very small. It's under $3 million. And this change was made at the request of Ed Financial because they are much more so in the federal loan servicing business. And it was sort of kind of an anomaly for them to be involved in this private loan portfolio. And so we made this change at their request. And so the process of actually moving the loans to this new servicer is underway. And I'd like to ask Andrea Lennox from Gold Structured Solutions to comment on that. And also Denise, if you have any comments, as well as both of you were key to this process.
Sure. Thank you, Jeanette. So as you mentioned, the actual servicing agreement, it was finalized on August 24th. That documentation, as well as notifications, was delivered to various different parties, that including Bank of New York, Fitch, and S&P. A week later, on August 31st, Launch delivered their conversion plan for the servicing transfer. And as of last week, there's been bi-weekly meetings that have already started. These are basically working sessions between Launch, Ed Financial, CSLF, and Goal. And right now, we're certainly on track in terms of the actual transfer occurring on the date of November 1st. I'll turn it over to Denise for any further comments.
Nope,
that said,
you covered everything.
Okay. All right. Jeanette, anything else that you wanted to report?
That is it for the executive director's report.
Okay. All right, we can turn it over to our friends from Cohen Resnick for the auditor's report. I'm not sure, Kristen, are you gonna start, or Melissa?
Hi, Kristen, I'm gonna start. There's no changes from what I had presented in the original meeting for the CSLF financial statements. So if anyone, unless anyone objects, I'm just gonna move on to the compliance report and the 990.
Okay.
The compliance report, we do a compliance over requirements for CSLF, and there were no issues that we noted. So we will be issuing a clean compliance report. And then I have the 990 to discuss. And those of you who are on the board have access to the 990. There really were not a lot of significant changes to the last year in regard to the 990. Obviously, the numbers changed. However, the answers to the questions remain the same. I will point out on page 2 of the 990, that is the description of the programs of the organization. And the piece from a nonprofit perspective, which is what you're filling out in 990 for what is a nonprofit organization, is found on page 15. That is your public support test. Basically, to remain a nonprofit in this regards for filing the 990, you need to have support of a significant amount in order to not be taxed. So you guys are well over that support test. You have 99% of your support coming from outside organizations. So that is not an issue for you in regards to somebody reading your 990. There's been no change to the related parties that have been disclosed within the 990. They're still Chesla and Shifa. Does anyone have any questions?
Yeah, I had two. It's Marty. On page sure. 5, a question 2A. It says there's one employee. Who is the one employee of CSLF?
That one I'm going to leave to Joanne. I can't remember the person's name. It's like an old board member or somebody.
Correct. That is Vincent Mayako. And it would be his premium that we pay for his gap insurance. So it's considered a French benefit.
Premium you pay for his what?
Health insurance.
It's the gap insurance, so we pay for the
premium. Right.
Take care of
gap insurance. Okay. Thank you. Also, there's a question as to whether you have any controlled facilities. And I would have thought Well, I guess CSLF has chief has controlled facilities, but not CSLF. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. That is all I have for our presentation.
Anyone else with questions?
So Kevin does have some updates on CSLF if you want him to review the numbers for fiscal year.
I'm sorry, Joanne, I didn't hear that.
Sorry, Kevin also has a summary update for CSLF.
Okay.
Hi guys, so if you look on the electronic packet with the chief financial audit, page 50-60, that's where I'd be referring. And on page 60, the operating revenues were 8.2 million as compared to 10.8 million in the prior year, and it's budgeted at 8.6 million, 2.6 million decrease year over year. As usual, 98% of the revenues are generated from student loan interest, and the last 2% revenues are comprised of service income on the not-for-profit portfolio. Again, that ended October 2019.
And Kevin, can you
operating expenses reiterate, was 6.3 million, which decreased.
Excuse me, Kevin, can you reiterate the page that you are on within the CSLF board package or whatever the other package that you're looking
60.
At?
Yep, it's page 60.
Is that of the audit or of the board package?
Or is that the
of the audit, yeah.
Okay.
I don't think these were on the board package.
It's in the
board package. For reference.
Keep going down.
Yeah, it's in the Chesla board package, I believe.
Yeah.
Keep going down. It's in the schedules. Keep going down.
It's page 60 of the audit itself. Is that correct, Kevin?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So, Deb, it's page 60 of the actual audit, not the package number page.
There we go.
It's within the audited financial statements, and it's just the pagination that's part of the audit, page 60.
Okay, I'm trying to locate it. I do apologize.
Can you go to page 74 of the document? 74 of 140? And move forward from there.
Yes.
I think that was it, one page back.
Combining schedule and net position.
Yep. Yeah, right there.
Is this correct?
Kevin, is that correct?
Kevin, is this the page? You want to send?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, let me start over. Start from the beginning.
Yes, please.
Operating revenues. Operating revenues were 8.2 million as compared to 10.8 million last year, and it was budgeted at 8.6 million this year. 2.6 million decrease year over year. 98% of the revenues are generated from student loan interest. Final 2% revenues comprised of service income on the not-for-profit portfolio. not-for-profit servicing income ended October 2019. Operating expenses were $6.3 million, which decreased by $3.2 million compared to last year and $1.4 million under budget, primarily due to the pay down of bond principal, resulting in decreased bond interest paid, as well as a decrease in bad debt expense. Total operating income is on par with last year at $1.8 million. And if you can go to the balance sheet on page 59, that was the next page.
Yeah.
Or page up, possibly. Okay. Year over year, the balance sheet has decreased from $194 million in total assets to $168 million. This reflects the payments received from students on their outstanding loans. In turn, available funds were used to redeem $27.8 million in bonds since June of last year, reducing trust liabilities from $172 million to $145 million. Net position restricted by the indenture totals $4 million, which is on par at $4.8 million in June of last year, and an unrestricted net position of $19 million. Total net position for CSLF at June 30, 2020 is $23 million compared to $22 million last year. Any questions?
Any questions for Kevin? Okay. Thank you, Kevin.
All right. Thank you. Yep, you're welcome.
Okay. All right. Andrea, are you going to for the bond redemption activity?
Sure. That sounds good.
Peter. Sorry, Andrea. You need to approve the audit financial statements in the IRS Form 990.
Okay, those require a vote. I'm sorry. All right. Do they need to be separate?
I'll move the resolution in the package.
I'll second.
Thank you. Any discussion? Comments? All those in favor of approving the resolution as presented in the package, please say aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? Are there any abstentions? Thank you. All right. Apologize, Denise. I'm sorry about that. Okay. Andrea.
Okay. So going to page 33 of the board package, you'll see that during the quarter, $4.6 million of senior bonds from the 06A1 tranche were redeemed, while another $1.5 million of bonds from the 06A2 tranche were also redeemed. Total bond redemptions for the quarter then were $6.1 million. This is in comparison to $6.25 million in redemptions from last quarter, so basically on par with the last period. This resulted in a total bond outstanding balance of $143.825 million. Of note on this page is the relatively low interest being paid this quarter of $567,000 approximately. This is versus a little bit over $1 million from last quarter, and simply because rates have been trending down really during the first half of this year. Most of this year, they started to go back up recently, but during the period that we're looking at, they definitely have been trending down. So moving to page 34 of the package, in terms of the quarter end loan portfolio characteristics, you'll see that the weighted average coupon is at 6.38% and the weighted average remaining term is at 158 months. So basically relatively flat levels versus prior periods. It's the uptick in forbearances that is the most significant, with a FFELP portfolio currently at 22.11% versus 7.73% as of last quarter, and the private loan portfolio at 7.85% versus 3.12% last quarter. Please note that as part of the annual budget setting and loan loss reserve process, we actually used April loan status levels, at which time FFELP forbearances were at 17.74%. So still relatively high, not quite as high as where we're at currently, but we were at least able to get most of that increase as expected in terms of borrower relief. So in any case, we'll continue to monitor these loan portfolio characteristics for any sort of meaningful changes, but no concerns at this point in time in terms of the relatively high levels of non-payment statuses. Okay. Any questions or comments?
Good news. Thank you, Andrea. Are there any questions for Andrea? Any questions? Okay. Thank you very much, Andrea.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Denise, would you like to walk us through the changes to the amendments to the bylaws?
I mean, it might be worth noting, going back one on page 35, the great coverage that we have, parity, it shows that we do have money if we need it that we could take from CSLF.
Right.
No, this is your financial advisor, Tim Webb. Yes, there is quite a bit of coverage in the trust, but I want to point out something that Andrea just did a few minutes ago, which is the fact that you have a higher percentage of the portfolio moved into what we would consider to be an interim status. You also have loans that are moving into IBR, income-based repayment, which can significantly slow down the amortization of the portfolio. So with regard to pulling money out of the trust estate, that may be possible, but I think cash flows are necessary because we don't want to get into a position where we come up against maturity walls and we don't have the cash to make maturity payments. These are bullet maturities. So we've got a ways until we have to make those maturity payments, but the rating agencies are very heavily focused right now on the percentage of loans that are in forbearance and the percentage of portfolios moving into IBR. And there have been a number of downgrades or issues being put on watch as a result of the maturity walls. Why is that important to CSLF? The importance is that if you'll recall, the interest rates that you pay on your bonds are a function of the ratings that you have on your bonds. As long as you stay within a certain parameter, you receive the lower interest rate. But if your bonds were to be downgraded to a certain level, then you end up with a much higher spread, which will eat into that equity. So I'm not saying it's not something that can be done, Mr. Budd, but it's something that before it would occur, some analysis needs to be performed.
I have two questions in that regard. One, does the federal government make up the interest payments when they have forbearance? I mean, I thought they were guaranteeing that we would get some return on the loans.
These are federal family education loans. There is no obligation for the authority to grant any kind of extraordinary deferment or forbearance. What the feds were doing that you're hearing in the news is in relation to the Federal Direct Program, of which there are none of those loans. Nobody has Federal Direct loans. Those are owned by the federal government. So no, I don't believe that there's any makeup in that sense.
Good. Thank you. The next question is, when is the next big bullet maturity?
I think it may be, is it 35? I don't have that in front of me, Marty.
But it's 35. It's not next week.
No, it's not next week. The biggest concern is, you know, we don't have control over what the rating agencies do with regard to their analysis. So when they provide surveillance on these deals, they run cash flows internally and they put in a series of assumptions which could include putting, you know, X percent of the portfolio into IBR, and they could put it into IBR for the life of the loan. That means that no payment.
What is those?
Stands for income-based repayment. Basically, a borrower will submit a request to go into income-based repayment. They have to submit the request annually, but it can be to the point where the borrower makes no payments at all on a loan. They being the rating agencies, could make an assumption that you put 40-50% of your portfolio into this non-repayment status, and that's where you run into problems. Again, it's probably not a concern with you being able to make that, being able to pay off your bonds, but the concern that I have is that we get a significantly large volume of this income-based repayment loans that would result in a downgrade from the current AAA, AA where you are, where it would impact the spread. Your spread effectively is, I think it's 150 over the T-bill, and the next step is 250 basis points, or it's 120 over T-bill. The next step is 250. So to the extent that you were to have a downgrade, it would drastically increase the cost of your funds, which would eat into that equity balance that you've developed.
Thank you very much. Very helpful.
Okay. You're welcome.
Thank you, Tim.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Back to agenda item six. Denise, you want to walk us through the proposed amendments to the bylaws?
Yes. So on page 37 of the packet is a copy of the bylaws with the proposed amendments shown in red. They're very similar to the amendments made to the CHESLA bylaws. Section 203 is amended to include the ability to send notices of special to a board member's place of business via electronic mail. Section 206 is amended to include a specific reference for holding board meetings via video conference. Section 209 is amended to include a procedure for board member refusal due to a conflict of interest. And in Articles 6 and 8, statutory references are updated. In the first section of Article 8, a typo corrected, changing the section number from 802 to 801. Are there any questions?
In Article 6, in the indemnification of directors, there's a change in statutory reference.
Mm-hmm.
Is that statutory reference change any substance that reduces the extent to which the foundation indemnifies directors?
No, it doesn't, Marty. It's just, it was a public act, it's now a statutory reference, so it's just referencing the statute as opposed to the public act. There's no change.
Thank you very much. I'll move adoption of the amendments.
Thank you, Marty. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Andrew. So there's a motion and a second to approve the amendments to the bylaws as presented. Are there any further questions, discussion, comments? Hearing none, all those in favor of adoption of the amendments as presented, please say aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? Are there any abstentions? Thank you very much. Okay, is there any other business to be brought forward to the board? Any other topics? Any new business? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Second. Got it. All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you all very much. I think we are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you.